This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Electronic cigarettes used to be relatively obscure, sold in just a handful of convenience stores. But now they're a $1.7 billion industry, complete with Marlboro Man-like ads featuring actor Stephen Dorff.
Blue lets me enjoy smoking without it affecting the people around me. Because it's vapor, not tobacco smoke. That means no ash. And best of all, no offensive odor. It's time we take our freedom back. Come on, guys. Rise from the ashes.
Policymakers are scrambling to keep up with the growth of e-cigarettes. The Federal Food and Drug Administration is considering regulations that would give it control of the devices. Several states and cities, including Boston, have restricted their use.
Also within the anti-smoking movement, e-cigarettes have opened up a debate. Proponents say they're a promising way to reduce the harm of traditional cigarettes, and they help people quit. Others say they glamorize cigarettes and they're simply a gateway to smoking. Joining us in the studio is Dr. Michael Siegel. He's a professor of community health sciences at Boston University. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Also on the line with us is State Representative Jeffrey Sanchez. He's a Democrat from Jamaica Plain and he's co-chair of the legislature's Public Health Committee. Hello, Representative.
Hello, everyone.
First off, before we start, I want to tell our listeners that we'd also like to hear from them as well during this conversation. Listeners, what do you think about e-cigarettes? Have you ever smoked them? Do you think that they can help people quit, or are they simply an alternative way for smokers to light up? Might they be a gateway to nicotine addiction and the use of traditional cigarettes? And are they almost a throwback to the days when we saw people smoking regularly? Tell us what you think by calling 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or you can join the conversation on Facebook or on Twitter. So, Dr. Siegel, let's start with you. First off, just briefly, tell us how e-cigarettes work, how they deliver the nicotine.
Well, electronic cigarettes are battery-operated devices. They're essentially metal tubes that look like a cigarette, but what they deliver is nicotine in the absence of tobacco. There's absolutely no tobacco in the product. There's no combustion, so nothing's burning. What's happening is the battery is heating up the nicotine solution and vaporizing it. So you're inhaling the vapor of nicotine without all the tar and carcinogens that you would get with a cigarette.
And you've written that this will actually help reduce the harm from tobacco.
Well, there's no question that there are literally thousands of smokers out there who have successfully switched from cigarettes to electronic cigarettes. And many of these people are smokers who've smoked for 30 or 40 years and were unsuccessful using the nicotine patch, using nicotine gum or other drugs, but who finally found a product that succeeds. And I think the reason why this product is so successful is that, unlike the drugs, it addresses not just the pharmacologic aspect of addiction, not just the nicotine, but also all of the behavioral aspects, the finger sensations, the throat hit that you get, the behavioral associations, and even the social aspects of smoking.
Right. So, but do we know for sure? I mean, these are relatively new. They've been on the market only 7 years, and there have been mixed reviews about some of the studies. And actually, the only one I saw that I thought was considered a legitimate study was a clinical trial, I believe, from New Zealand that said that about 7% of smokers who used e-cigarettes actually quit. Many smokers use e-cigarettes because they can smoke where they're no longer allowed to smoke, really, but not as a tool to quit. Do we know that they are more successful in helping people quit than, say, a nicotine patch or other things?
Well, there have not been very many studies, clinical trials, to look at that. And as you mentioned, the one clinical trial from New Zealand found that electronic cigarettes are a little bit better than the nicotine patch. There's no question that we need products that are much more successful. The nicotine patch actually has a failure rate of over 90%. But I think that these products have the potential to do a lot better. And the reason for that is that they're actually giving the smoker something to hold, something that really substitutes for the addiction, and it makes it a lot easier for them to quit smoking. There's not as much that they have to change.
So because that physical thing is still there.
Exactly. And many smokers who just try the patch basically say, well, what do I do with my hands? What do I do with my mouth? It's just not enough.
Okay, so we're going to get to some of the other issues, but first I want to ask Representative Sanchez, who's talked about e-cigarettes at length and has filed legislation. Representative, can you tell us, first of all, what are the legalities about e-cigarettes in Massachusetts? Because I guess there's a whole patchwork right now among the states as to what's legal, what isn't, where can minors get them? Essentially, how are e-cigarettes regulated in Massachusetts at the moment?
Silent. Period. Silence.
There's nothing. There are no bands, nothing.
My 7-year-old could walk into a 7-Eleven right now and pick up and buy an e-cigarette. And since the way that they're marketed, they look like something that's fun because of the colors and Jenny McCarthy and Stephen Dorff, who's looking for his freedom, which I think is a little ironic. These products are very, very accessible to kids. They're glamorous to see, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus smoking an e-cigarette at the Golden Globes. You know, it kind of makes it, you know, you feel like you're in a bygone era when Ronald Reagan was selling Chesterfield cigarettes during Christmas time on the back cover of Time magazine.
Right. So days when everyone smoked, you're saying we're going back to those times. But what if there were regulations on the use of e-cigarettes to minors? Would that be enough then?
Well, in what I did here in filing the bill that I filed here in the Massachusetts legislature was essentially file a bill that speaks to the marketing and sale to minors, to make sure that the product doesn't end up in their hands, and so that we make sure that the products are kept out of their hands, not marketed to kids. But at the same time, we also make sure that we, again, because the tobacco industry is in constant flux right now, they're trying to make sure that they stay in business, and this is a product that they feel that's a growth industry for them, as you folks have mentioned. So what the bill does is essentially it takes what's about 43 communities have already done here in the Commonwealth, which is ban the use of e-cigarettes in the workplace and in places where they're already banned in terms of the public. So it's something that communities are already doing, and we ban it for the use of, and we ban the use of children to make sure we keep the product out of the hands of children.
Would your legislation also classify e-cigarettes as nicotine products?
Absolutely.
So if it does that, though, aren't you then basically giving this market to big tobacco?
No, not this is the reason why we did, because we see it as a direct expansion. Because I appreciate Dr. Siegel's work, and he's somebody that I have worked with on gun violence issues here in Boston. His job and the work that he does over at BU is critical to harm reduction. But when it comes to the industry, you know, look at what happened back in 2009 when the FDA attempted to regulate e-cigarettes. They claimed that it was a smoking cessation device, and then when the FDA held them to it against the Cosmetic Act, they fought against it, and they wanted to make sure that it was categorized as a tobacco product so that they wouldn't have to go through FDA scrutiny and regulation.
Okay. Well, you know, we've got a lot of callers on the line. So first, who I'd like to go to is Marty, who is calling from Worcester. Marty, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 Hello. What would you like to say?
Well, I would like to say that, well, I am 70 years old. I smoked for 50 years.
Yikes.
I've got COPD. The gum didn't work. The patch was worse. It didn't work at all. And it was giving me nicotine all night long. But the e-cigarettes, they feel like a cigarette. They hit your throat like a cigarette. I've cut down from a pack and a half a day to 4 or 5 cigarettes over 6 months with the e-cigarettes. And, you know, I'm just looking for a day when I can give them up altogether, and I feel that it won't be that hard to do.
But you're still smoking regular cigarettes along with the e-cigarettes.
Just a few, like 20% of what I was. The good thing about it is I think that you don't have to make it a zip decision like with the gum or the patch. You can get used to the e-cigarette and taper off of the other ones, and pretty soon you don't know the difference, and you're not smoking the ones with the tar and all those chemicals. And, you know, I'm feeling better. I can cough up that foul stuff I couldn't before. And I just think they're great. I agree they shouldn't be for kids because nicotine's an addictive substance. But as far as grown-up people, especially that already smoke, I mean, I think it's a lifesaver.
All right.
It's cheaper.
And it's cheaper. All right, Marty, thanks very much. Dr. Siegel, he's saying exactly what you've been saying, is that this is a way for smokers to quit.
Well, this is, you know, Marty's point is really very typical of, I hear this all the time from electronic cigarette users that they've tried for many years to quit. The patch, the gum, is just not working for them, and they need something else. And they're not ready to go cold turkey. It's just not going to happen. And then these products can help them to either quit completely or, in Marty's case, to greatly reduce the amount of consumption. And what we found is that once smokers are able to wean down the amount that they smoke to a very low level, it makes it even easier for them to quit completely eventually.
But what do we know about the health risks from e-cigarettes? I mean, could they be just as dangerous as traditional cigarettes?
Well, there's no question that electronic cigarettes are much safer. They don't have any tobacco in them, and there's no combustion. So the levels of carcinogens in the product are thousands of times lower. Very likely people who are using these products are eliminating their risks of lung cancer and chronic lung disease. You're still getting the nicotine, so there still may be some risk of heart disease, but at least in terms of lung disease, you're greatly reducing your risks.
And what is the clinical research that we have on health risks then? Very minimal at this point? I mean, there's some, I thought I read that there was some research to suggest that there's a lung irritant in some of the vapor, but other than that, is it still, the jury's still out?
I don't know.
Well, the fact is that we know so much about tobacco and how bad it is that given that there's no tar and nicotine in these, or given that there's no tar in these products, it's very clear. It doesn't take a lot of rocket science to figure out that these products are going to be a lot safer than inhaling, 10,000 chemicals, of which more than 60 are proven human carcinogens. If you're just inhaling nicotine and a little bit of propylene glycol, there's no question. You don't need a lot of long-term studies to figure out that that's going to be a lot safer.
Okay. I'd like to go to another caller. Dave is calling from West Roxbury. Dave, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Hi. I'm actually calling from Lawrence.
Okay.
I hear a lot of fear-mongering in what's going on. I've never really been a tobacco smoker, and I certainly don't have any problem with regulating e-cigarettes with nicotine in it to keep them away from adolescents. But I use a vape pen, which is very similar to an e-cigarette. The products that I use, I vape just for flavoring. I don't take any nicotine with the product. I think that there is nothing wrong with acknowledging that people do have an oral fixation. And my question is, where is it going to end? The fact that I can get fined for vaping a harmless product in Boston Common just because it looks too much like smoking, I really have a problem with that. So I fall very strongly on the freedom side. Like a number of people have said, it's a lot safer than smoking combustible tobacco leaves. And this technology has been around in nebulizers and a variety of products for years. So I hear a lot of fear and a lot of just a lot of things that limit freedom that really don't achieve any real tangible benefit.
Okay. David, thanks very much for the call. Representative Sanchez, what do you say to folks who say that further regulations of products like this one really amounts to infringement?
This isn't a piece of candy that we're talking about, okay? At the end of the day, this is nicotine. Nicotine is a known immunosuppressant. Okay, it tightens up. It does physically affect you. So to try and purport as if this is something that's going to help you, again, the jury is still out. So I would rather err on the side of caution when it comes to this product, because at the end of the day, the tobacco industry is the one that is the ones that are spending the dollars to make sure that they market this as aggressively as possible, and has the potential to essentially generate a new generation of smokers. And we all know, we all have smokers in our family. We all have sick family members that have died and that have suffered the maladies of cigarette smoking. And we know the cost that it has to society, both emotionally and both financially, in terms of how much here in Massachusetts we spend billions on the effects of cigarette smoking. So how do we make sure, again, that we get ahead of the cart as opposed to last time? Remember the last time the tobacco industry told us that cigarette smoke wasn't harmful? Well, the same thing is happening right now. The jury is still out. We don't know. But in the meantime, let's ban it so that that it's not sold to kids. Not only that, let's make sure that we ban the product in public places and workplaces. Again, it's for me again, I appreciate that it doesn't have all of the effects that tar, the nicotine tar in regular cigarette smoking has, but the jury's still out on the product.
Okay. Dr. Siegel, how do you respond to those concerns from Representative Sanchez?
Well, I think Representative Sanchez is very correct to take a precautionary approach. And I think that what we really need here is we need responsible regulation. This is a situation where we can't have an unregulated product. As Representative Sanchez pointed out, there really is no regulation right now. And you can't have that for a successful harm reduction strategy. And so what we need is regulations that do some major things. I think the most important things that regulation need to do is, number one, keep these out of the hands of kids. This should be in a product for adult smokers to use. Number two, I think there needs to be marketing restrictions that, just like cigarette advertising shouldn't be appealing to kids, electronic cigarette advertising shouldn't appeal to kids.
So does that mean the ads we're seeing right now, these sort of Marlboro Man-like ads that we referred to at the beginning of the show, should those be outlawed? Should we not have those kinds of things? Do they make smoking appear more alluring?
I do think so. I think that there should be some regulation on the marketing. I think it's not necessary for these companies to use those kinds of appeals. I think that they can just come out and tell the truth to consumers, which is, hey, do you want to die? If not, then why don't you try switching to electronic cigarettes? The problem with the regulatory situation right now is that the electronic cigarette companies are afraid to use that kind of advertising because the FDA has told them that if they make smoking cessation claims, they're going to be regulated as a drug. And so I think the FDA needs to come out and make a very clear statement that we would rather have you market these products as being designed to get people off deadly cigarettes than to use all these kinds of sexy, youth-oriented marketing themes. And I think that would be a better approach. But all in all, I think that we're very lucky to have Representative Sanchez here who's taking the precautions at the state level that need to be taken. But I want to emphasize that it's not just the state level. We also need regulation at the federal level. There are more than 250 different brands of e-cigarettes out there, and there needs to be some quality control. You have to know that you can buy any particular brand and that the certain quality control procedures are in place.
Mm-hmm. Representative Sanchez, I'm wondering what you say about using e-cigarettes as a smoking cessation tool for the 42 million, I believe, estimated people who still smoke in this country.
Again, let's make sure we take a look at how it could. But again, the tobacco industry fights it. They don't want to be regulated as a cessation product because then they'd have to be regulated by the FDA. And they don't want that. So I think the tobacco industry, they're having an identity crisis right now because, you know, they want people to think that they can use it as a cessation product, yet they want to fall under the tobacco moniker where they won't have as much regulation. So, again, they can have it both ways. But if you look at their ads, and how they're selling it, again, listen to the piece with Stephen Dorff and with Jenny McCarthy and the other popular Hollywood stars that they have selling the product. You know, they're trying to sell it as if it's a cessation product.
Okay. So we'd like to go to the phones. We have lots of listeners calling in. John is calling from Southboro. John, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. As a longtime smoker who smoked for over 20 years and stopped smoking a little over 27 years ago, I certainly know the effects and of this product, or at least of the products the tobacco companies were marketing for years and still are. And my concern is that we have people that are the CEOs of these companies that are telling us that this product is safe. And they were saying the same thing about cigarettes back in the 60s and 70s. For me, this sends up all kinds of red flags when the people that were trying to kill us for years are saying now we have a safe product for you. Hmm. And secondly, that there is, my understanding is there are also other materials or things in these cigarettes that could potentially be problematic, including heavy metals and including lead. And that's a little bit, you know, disconcerting to me that they can come along and say they have a safe product, and not even because it has less nicotine, but the fact is there may be other things in here that could cause problems other than what your traditional cigarettes could do.
Right.
My third point is just that there hasn't been enough research done by the government, and it seems that all the research up to this point has been done by the tobacco companies themselves, which again sends red flags up for me.
Dr. Siegel, I do think we did briefly address the safety issue of these e-cigarettes. At this point, do we know enough about them or not quite yet?
Well, you know, it's kind of like saying, well, you know, suppose you're on a sinking ship and the ship is going down and you have a lifeboat. Are you going to sit there and saying, well, do we know enough about the safety of this lifeboat before we get in it? You know, maybe it hasn't been thoroughly tested by the FDA. Maybe it hasn't been tested for 20 years of use. You don't ask those questions. When you're about to drown and you have a lifeboat in front of you, you jump into the lifeboat. E-cigarettes are a lifeboat for so many smokers. Their lives are literally being threatened. And any smoker who has the opportunity to switch to an electronic cigarette and save their life and decides not to do so because they're afraid there might be a little bit of a metal in there is frankly making a stupid decision, which it has no basis in science. And they're going to lose their life based on that kind of logic.
I want to give the last few seconds to Representative Sanchez. Representative Sanchez, just tell us briefly, what's the status of your legislation and when do you think we might know what's going to happen with it?
So right now, the bill that I filed, we let it out of committee a number of months ago, and the bill is in the Healthcare Financing Committee, and the debate continues, and I've spent some time, you know, talking with leadership and with other members about it, and I feel like, you know, people are listening. I mean, I feel like it's actually sparked some other activity because now there's one of the members that filed an increase in the smoking age bill to age 21. So tobacco continues to be at the forefront of policy here in the legislature, and I hope that we can do something to make sure that we keep this product away from kids early on so that we don't create another generation of smokers.
Okay, Representative Jeffrey Sanchez, co-chair of the legislature's Public Health Committee, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Also, Dr. Michael Siegel, professor of community health services at Boston University, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, Bill Littlefield gives us his take on the Sochi Olympics and spring training. I'm Deborah Becker with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.